Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Let us look at the topic for today, which is to challenge us, wherever we are in Kuala Lumpur, to be witnesses in the cities. And we will just say that the integrating theme, the main focus is from Romans chapter 8, where God's mission within the mission of the people of God within the overarching purpose of God for the rebirth of the entire creation. In the early days, we say mission is about evangelism. We go out, evangelize, and then people get converted and they come to church. But here in Romans chapter 8, it gives us a different orientation. That mission begins with God. And creation, especially in the cities, are broken. And God plant churches in the cities so that we can reimagine the cities of God that will bring healing and rebirth for the entire creation. Here in the gospel, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." But the danger is that when salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Pastor said we spent about 7 years in England, and there were many times that we had a privilege to preach at historic churches. And some of those churches, or at least twice, I preached in a pulpit where they say the famous Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon preached here. And yet when you are preaching at a church in England, you find maybe 100 people, 90% are over 60 years old. And many of you have visited Europe, and you find that many of the cathedrals that are able to sit over 1,000, that today is a museum or something. And that's part of the story of the decline of Christianity in the West. The result is that it is no longer good for anything. Result number two, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Many mission scholars are very concerned. How is it that Christianity that existed for over 1,000 years in Europe could decline so rapidly in the last 50 years? One professor called Andrew Walls started this Center for the Study of Non-Western Christianity. And he was studying how Christianity declined in the West but grew rapidly in Africa, in Latin America, and in Asia. Andrew Walls succinctly summarized what is happening in the world today. And he says that Islam expands progressively. It's like an ink. Islam, whenever it grew from Mecca, it took over Christian empires like Iran, Turkey, and Iraq. Whenever Islam takes over a community, people, or country, it generally remains Islamic. You go and study, you know, over 2,000 years, the history of Islamic expansion, it expands progressively. And then when it went to North Africa, and then parts of Southeast Asia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Brunei, generally, these countries that become Islamic, they remain Islamic. In contrast to Islam, Christianity expands progressively, serially. Islam expands progressively, they remain Islamic. Christianity expands serially. That means it tends to grow and then it can also wither. Christianity has this tendency to wither at its center, but then it flowers at the periphery. So just as Turkey, Iran, and Iraq, and Jerusalem is no longer the Christian center today, Christianity do not have this historic center. And then it grew in Europe, and then for about 1,000 years, this was the center of Christianity. Andrew Wall says the 21st century, in our lifetime, we witness the greatest recession of Christianity in the Western world and the greatest accession of Christianity in the non-Western world. Last week, we organized a lecture called The Global Church Landscape, and the World Authority demographer called Professor Todd Johnson presented some major trends in global Christianity and religions. One of the interesting trends that he highlighted to us, maybe two I will highlight here, is that he says Christianity have never gone above the wanted barrier. I mean, the world today has 7 billion people. In the history, 2,000 years of Christian history, somehow it declined in the West, but it grew in other places. So people in the West, in Europe, think, oh, Christianity is declined, has declined, but actually Christianity continued to sustain itself. But we never really gone beyond the wanted barrier. So many missiologists are saying in the 21st century, the real strategy for growth must be to equip churches in the cities. And Jesus says that our light must shine before others for two purposes. One, that they may see your good deeds. And two, that they may glorify your Father in heaven. People who study urban strategies for city churches say that the old metaphors are no longer very useful. The typical metaphors of churches, the organizing centers for church, is a church traditionally is like a lecture hall. That means like this. We all attend, you know, European church structure is a church, is the word is at the center, and you have somebody to give a lecture, and we all sit and take down notes so that our minds are kind of developed. And that's important. Sources of growth for the church is through the word. Another model for church growth, they say, is the church as a theater. You know, remember in the 60s or 70s when FGA began to come into the shores of Malaysia. This is another metaphor for church growth in the cities. That means the church entertains, and it's not bad, but you know, it evokes not only the mind but the heart. So experiential worship. But here, some missiologists are saying, here within the grand purposes of the city church is to think about the church as salt and light, but within the context of the city. And here is the next verse, Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. And the key characteristics of a light is that it cannot be hidden. It is like, example one, a city that is built on the hill. And example two, it is like a lamp that's not hidden under a bowl. So I want to ask you that the growth of a church is not just the responsibility of church leaders or mission committee, but that all of us, as Christians that God has placed in the city, what would this metaphor of the church placed in the context of a city demands to us? That of course it is good to have lecture theater. It is good to have theater, the church as entertainment. But here city is saying that people will see our good deeds and they will glorify God the Father. How we do that is we go to the next text, which is from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 reminds us in verses 17 onwards that if we are Christians, we have an inheritance in verse 17, Romans chapter 8. That means God gives us an inheritance. But in the history of Christianity, there has been two false interpretations of inheritance. One is that the world is completely good. So this is the world is our inheritance. We follow the latest techniques in the world, and everything in the world is good. The other false view of inheritance is the world as completely evil. So the world is evil, we are good, so reject the world. Against these two false views, a biblical view is what we say. Paul is saying, think about us as a city in the context of a broken creation. That means the creation that is groaning, good, but still waiting for its own liberation. Creation that is good, but still frustrated in verse 20. Creation that is good, but light in burst pang. I mean, we live in a cities where there are many brokenness and pain. And the Apostle Paul is saying to us that if we have this vision of the church as a pain-bearing community, not only creation is groaning, we as a church, placed within the context of the cities, are to identify with the brokenness of the world. That means within the groaning creation, we find churches participating in the groanings of the cities. It is like that Russian doll. You know, if you go on holiday, you buy those Russian doll, you open up the Russian doll, there's an exact replica of another figure. It could be Gorbachev or Putin, you know, and you open up another smaller doll, exact replica of the outer doll. So Paul is saying in chapter 8, verse 23, not only creations are groaning, but we Christians should identify with the groanings of creation. We're going to skip some of this slide for the sake of time, but it is very interesting that in this New Testament ideas of Jesus that we as Christians should think about ourselves as salt and light, like a city that placed on the top of the hill. So people who look at Asia, they say that Asia consists about 65% of the world's population. There are today about 7 billion people in the world, 65% are in Asia. And yet, majority of the least evangelized people in the world today are found in Asia. I mean, Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims. So how can Christianity exceed that one-third barrier? In all the history of Christianity, the church have never seen growth beyond that one-third. It's when you and I, who not only receive the gospel, but we become passionate that unworthy as I am, I've received this gospel, and yet I have many Buddhist friends, relatives, many Hindu colleagues, and we live in an Islamic world that whatever the government say, we are indebted not to go and push the gospel to other people's throat, but to live such winsome life, salt and light, that attracts people so that when they see your good deeds, they will give glory to the Father. So how we do that is that we find in the Old Testament, this slide reminds us, every city, almost, I've yet to find a city, maybe one day we may find some, but I will mention a few exceptions. But generally, in the Old Testament, all cities symbolizes places of judgment, evil against God. And that's highlighted there, Babel, Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah, Nineveh. So mission today, given that we, in this era, we are the Christians for the first time in this generation where majority of people live in the cities, where no longer you have just to go out into the interior, the inland, the China inland mission or the Sudan inland mission. Now people are moving from the nations to the cities. So to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But the ends of the earth have come to us. So in an average church, we must desire that this church is not just Malaysians, but Filipinos, I know here, Nepali, people from Pakistan, from China, they should all be welcome. In the 21st century, like this thesis of Ephesians chapter 2, that the church must intentionally be multicultural, welcoming the nations to Kuala Lumpur. I mean, every major cities in Asia, we should construct a city of God. I will skip to the end because of time. Last but not least, the heart of Paul's argument in verse 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 8, he says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with us, for us, with groans that words cannot express. Remember the Russian doll? The creation is groaning. Within the groaning of creation, there is a city of God, groaning, the church. But whenever the church identifies with the groanings of people around us, then we experience the third doll, which is the Holy Spirit himself, the groaning spirit. Let us close by saying, what practical lessons can we take from this quick exposition on the role of a church in the cities? I think one, in the past, we bring some kind of exotic good news to unreached people's group. But most people in the cyber net 21st century roughly know the gospel in general. But when they see salt and light, ethical behavior, that is the power of the mission of a church in the cities. So it reminds us, for example, Christianity Explore is one example where we can bring people. But when people come and they see and experience the life of the church, they must see that within this community is a radically different life of communities. You know, by your ethical life at work, but by the quality, also by the quality of your love within the church, that people are attracted through this salt and light. Secondly, it reminds us that the church must identify with the groanings of the world. Sometimes our groanings, a lot of groanings in church, is we fight against one another, right? Our groanings are so peculiar, nothing to do with the groanings of creation. But in every city, I can close with these two illustrations, where missiology is saying that in cities, the two major groups, one is a trend of global migration. What they say, the third world everywhere, you know, all, whether in Europe especially, Africans are all going to Europe, but this migration is not just in Europe, but also in middle-class cities like Kuala Lumpur. Secondly, they say another big challenge in the cities is what they will say, one research says that Southeast Asia is the main exporter of human slavery, particularly in terms of prostitution. And many of us men, if we are honest, we know that prostitution are rampant. People from lower income countries, they could be tribal communities in North Thailand, or it could be rural China, they could be from Vietnam, from Cambodia. All these girls from rural places are exported through an international syndicate. And they're right under our noses, but there are hardly any city, any churches that are saying that it calls us to a radical salt and light. So we live in a very exciting time. If only we as Christians begin to say that our mission is not just to get more people into the church, our mission is to equip Christians to a radical ethical life, but also to begin to identify new frontiers of mission, which is not out there, but right here in our cities. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit groans like our Lord Jesus, who wept over the cities of Jerusalem. Today, we ask that you will still our hearts and help us to look at the heart of Jesus over the cities of Asia, where many still do not know you, but many others who are in human slavery and others who are poor. And we pray that we who have received much will be instruments of blessing in the cities where you have planted us. For we pray in Jesus' name.